hope we are now live. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Radio Edutalk. I'm John Johnson, sitting in my home in Glasgow. I'm joined, as usual, by David Noble, at Pardlad on Twitter, to talk about educational things. And tonight we are just very, very pleased to be joined by Charlie Love. If you're a Scottish educator on Twitter, you'll have seen a lot of tweets pointing at Charlie recently, that some really exciting work he's been doing and involved in. If you have a question at any point for Charlie, you can always tweet using the edutalk, EDUTALK hashtag. You could email edutalkr, that's EDUTALKR, at hotmail.co.uk. And if you want to ask a question live, if you want to phone in, you can, if you just direct message either at Pardlad or at John Johnson, a Skype address, we should be able to pull you in. Anyway, good evening, Charlie.
Good evening. How
are
you doing?
I'm well, yeah. And we hope you are. And can you maybe just give us a wee bit of background on yourself first, and then maybe move on to glue?
Certainly. I mean, basically, I've been... I'll just get a quieter spot here. I've been a computing teacher for 20-odd years, and a lot of my work has been using technology and doing really sort of innovative and interesting things with technology, or at least trying to. And I've kind of always been tweaking around with web technologies and basically for the last 10 years. And maybe about 2006, I started up what was called CompEdNet, which is basically a network for computing teachers in Scotland. And we've got about 800 users on there, and it's a social network and exchange site where people can share resources and discuss issues relating to computing education in Scotland. And so I started that up, and I've developed a site for that. And I've always been really interested in technology and doing innovative things with it. And in 2009, 2010, I was seconded to Learning and Teaching Scotland to work at the Consularium project with Derek Robertson. And I did a lot of work then on games design. But also while I was there, I also did a few pieces of work around GLOW. And just me being me, having had a look at GLOW, I was able to find out ways to maybe just do more interesting things than had been done before with it. So things like being able to put your own skin or theme to a GLOW page. I found it a method for doing that. And they also wrote a URL shortening service, which is GLOWly, a bit like Bitly, but it's GLO.LI. And I made that service just as a wee side project for Learning Teaching Scotland at the time. So really, I've been messing around with web technologies and developing things. I also, outside of my school work, before I came into education, I was a software developer in the oil industry, and also outside of school, I've also some interest in some commercial web development operations. So it's not really something that I'm just tinkering with. It's something that I have some commercial and industry knowledge of as well. So that's kind of my background. So I'm a computing teacher, really excited about technology, really interested in what we can do with web technologies. And I got to say, I kind of thought, as things went along with GLOW, that it was a great concept but the problem with these great concepts with web technologies is that you have to be really agile and able to respond to change. And I think GLOW tried to do that. So 2009, when the blogs and the wikis and things came along, there was an attempt to adapt and change with things. But you have to be very, very agile with web tech to keep up to date with it. So one of the things that I've kind of been involved with is this GLOW project that that people have seen. The GLOW thing has really come about from some sort of initial work. Remember last year there was the Edu Scott ICT. I think you both sort of contributed to that discussion, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was a big meeting, and when Mike Russell, the Scottish minister, called for a sort of change in goal and a move to more open tools, and we, I think, got very excited at that point. It was a few meetings, one I certainly went to in October last year, where it seemed that Glow was really going to go on the right track.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was a great set of, you know, that set of engagement with teachers and educators in Scotland was fantastic, because it really was, it was blue sky thinking in a way. People were saying, right, what do we really need? We need to use these great free and open source tools that are out there. We need to get those into our schools. We need to change how we do things like internet filtering as well. That was a big feature of it. We need to make our web in school much more open, much more accessible, and really take forward this sort of bring your own device strategy as well. So there's sort of three main thrusts, I think, to EduScot ICT. There was the open source tools, there was the mobile technologies, bring your own device, and also there was the sort of national thought that we could maybe have a national filtering solution, which would be a great asset. So basically, as a result of those meetings, I kind of really took it on myself to just see, well, what could you do if you were developing something? I mean, I certainly had some contact and some involvement with some of the people at Education Scotland that were taking GLOW forward. And you'll maybe see from some of the articles and things that have been published that there was some involvement. You know, I had some involvement in scoping out what could be the GLOW 2 solution. I think there's a... Did you know, John, what's the address of that article again? It's
there's an interesting one just popped up today, I think, and it's on Merlin John's site, surprisingly, but it's from Jay Richards, who's sort of a Whale Kent Twitter and GLOW person in Scotland, and it's on www.agentforchange.net/grapevine/platform/1600, and I'll pop that out in a tweet if anybody's listening, and on Twitter as well. And I think I think Jay has been reporting on various GLOW related things and been a critical friend to GLOW for quite a long time.
Yes, and I think that article kind of it kind of explains some of the background, I think, to some of what's been going on in terms of GLOW 2 and the direction and so on that's been taken forward. I mean, what the article claims, and I can confirm a little bit of this, is that you know, we kind of knew that after the EduScot ICT events, it was pretty clear that if we're going to use free and open source tools, what we need is a rock solid platform onto which we can put in things like Moodle and WordPress and so on. And basically, in terms of the rock solid platforms that are around, you've really got two options for education that are zero cost, which are Google's Apps for Education and Microsoft's, as it was then, it was Live at Edu, but obviously now it's Microsoft's 365 for Education offering. So I was involved with a number of others in producing a proposal paper which basically looked very, you know, very clearly at both of these offerings, both these sets of tools, to see which we felt would be the best fit with Scottish educators, which set of tools met our needs, both from, you know, the point of view of being scalable and manageable, but also in terms of how learners responded to it. So there was also some user testing that was done as well with both sets of tools, and basically as a result of that user testing and the investigation that we did, there were some recommendations that were put forward, and but those recommendations were, you know, that was based on just on that experience, that basically that user testing and that research that we'd done. But that document went forward, and then that was really the limit of my input into the GLOW 2 process. That was where my sort of point finished, Now, where Glue fits into all this, when Glue is this software development, this platform that I've released onto the onto the general public, you might say, where Glue fits into all of this is, Glue was my, basically my proof of concept that everything that was in the proposal document was technically possible, and you know, we could actually, we could make it happen, and we do it. So as the proposal document went through its drafting process, and we said, well, these are the options, these are the sort of things that could be integrated into a future Glue 2 platform. As we went through that process, me beaving away on my own was saying, right, well, that's one of the options we want to do, so we want to have a single sign-on. Right, so I'll develop a single sign-on, and I'll use open source software to do it. So that's what I did, and I used, so I integrated that. And then we want to have WordPress blogs, so that was integrated. We wanted things like Moodle, so that was integrated into it. And so this was just put together, me just working on my own in my own sort of free time, you know, maybe an hour here, an hour there, odd nights during the week and whatever, just working up through this platform. But also, as I designed and built that system, also very, very aware of how it would be, how important it would be that such an offering like that would be able to scale. So it's built on the way Glue is put together. It's built on the sort of technology that people use on, you know, like Twitter started off with, and Facebook started off with, and WordPress started off with. So the servers and that sort of geeky stuff that happens in the background is all built in such a way that it could scale to meet, you know, several million users,
yeah,
with a bit of investment in the required server architecture and so on. So it's a system that's been built by me, but it's using the very best pieces of open source software that are available, and it's very clearly designed to scale. So you know, if someone said, right, we're going to roll out Glue to a million users in the next couple of months, then it would be a tough call, because we'd have to invest some time and effort in making it happen. But there's no technical reason why it couldn't happen. So the Glue Pro platform really is just, you know, it's my version of the vision that we kind of all had for what Glue 2 would be as a result of that Education Scotland ICT initiative way back in October last year. And I really just released it just because I think it needs to be out there. It needs to be, people need to be able to see what's possible. And it also ties in with a little bit with what Google are trying to do with their fast track program in Scotland, which is really just Glue's just thrown into the mix there as basically something that people need to be aware of. So for example, if a local authority wanted a single sign-on system, there's some examples there with Glue about how you can do it, and all of the code that's in Glue is going to be made available free for them to take and use. And clearly there'll also be some, I certainly hope there'll be some support as available as well, as we get more people to want to volunteer and get involved in the Glue project. Once we get our development portal up and running, people can volunteer to be involved in a whole number of different ways.
Certainly, it's David Noble here. It's fascinating listening to the story so far. I'm just wondering, I would say that a number of our listeners, either to the live stream or to the recording, would be educationalists who not be particularly or overly interested in ICT or maybe drilling into computer programming, etc. So at the moment, is there an attraction? Is there a way that you can? Is there a kind of selling point to Glue presently, or are you looking for folk? You know, can people go along now and use it or use aspects of it with their class, maybe instead of Glue? Whether it's 15 months or more left, there's some concern that it might not go beyond the extended contract. So you want folk to get involved in terms of using it for teaching and learning, or at the moment is it more about getting on board and helping to test drive it and maybe even develop it?
Well, it's interesting you asked me that question because today saw the first big class group arrive inside Glue. So inside Glue today we had a set of pupils from King Korth Academy in Aberdeen. I just noticed because their teacher had taken them into Glue and they'd all made up blogs and they'd all started the process of exploring the environment and having a look at that. The great thing about Glue is that what you have in there is not a set of Word. For example, if you're talking about WordPress, which is the blogging platform in Glow. Now, inside Glow currently, the WordPress is really tied down. They're on quite an old version of WordPress. It's on version 2.8, which is quite an old one. It's difficult to add video and pictures and media. Some of the features and functions of WordPress have been turned off to limit the amount of work, the amount of bandwidth and so on that you can use in it. None of those features are turned off in Glue. Every single feature of WordPress that would be in a typical WordPress.com install is available inside Glue. So you have a complete real-life solid instance of WordPress to use. If you're looking to do real-time collaboration, and that's where the Google Apps part of Glue is really, really strong, is that if you want to be able to, if you want your learners to collaborate online in a document live, and you want to be able to, as a teacher, you want to be able to highlight bits of that text that the learners are putting in and comment on that. You want comments that everyone can see, or if you want to direct a comment just to one of your learners, the Google Apps Docs platform will let you do that. So you'll be able to open a word processing doc in Google Apps, and you can share that. Can be shared with your whole class, it can be shared with a small group in the class, and they can all at the same time just have that document open in a web browser, and they can all be entering text, and they can all see, and all your learners can see that text being updated live in real time. It's a really exciting way to work, and it's something that we haven't had available inside Glow. But it's something that we now have available. It's inside Glue, and it's a part of the Google Apps platform. So in terms of real-time collaboration, Glue's got an awful lot more to offer than the current version of Glow does. And I think that's one of the key selling points of it. You know, if people want to come involved. I mean, it's still a testing platform. There's still changes ongoing. The whole server infrastructure that it's running just now is just something that I'm supporting myself and paying for myself and keeping running myself. So it's a sort of thing that hopefully as we, you know, roll this out as a community development, we'll be able to find resource from somewhere to help build a bigger infrastructure for it, and we'll get more people involved in using the tools and help in develop tools.
I think that sort of ties in with a wee question somebody's... Jim Buchan has tweeted here, and he's saying that Glue investment is key, as Charlie says. Who takes responsibility for this? And I think one of the great powers of Glue was that it was a national project, and it brought an awful lot of teachers who weren't necessarily ITC literate or ICT users into the sort of online world and started them using web tools. And obviously, well, to my eyes, I would much rather use Glue than the old Glow. But how do we get the sort of national push behind that, or the investment behind it? I presume your pockets aren't deep enough to buy a server you need. I would imagine it would need a fairly big investment to keep, you know, to host enough.
You're absolutely right, John. I mean, basically, to make this a national service would require the sort of investment that I can't put in myself, and that it would really need some sort of a level of intervention from government or Education Scotland or some group of local authorities to come forward and say, no, this is something we believe in. And this is something that we see the future in, and we're going to put some investment into that to make it happen. And there's, you know, in terms of, you know, those things, I suppose, are all possible. it would, you know, it's certainly possible that, you know, the phone could ring and it could be, you know, Mike Russell could be on the phone saying, right, what do you want to do? And certainly, you know, in terms of rolling out a solution and making something happen, I'd be very happy to speak to whoever wants to help take this forward. But yeah, I mean, it's a very, very fair point that if we want a national platform based on this technology that I've rolled out, then it will require some investment from some, you know, some public body or from some group of public bodies.
So I'm just seeing Alan Hamilton as well retweeting another Jim Buchan tweet about Glue, saying the key service in Glue is a national directory. And it's essential in his mind not to compromise the idea, which Alan is agreeing with.
Absolutely. There's a roadmap, and part of that roadmap is continuing to build a full national directory with detailed user profiles. Now, there's a couple of reasons for the way some of the future plans for Glue are going to work out. First of all, Glow's national directory has a number of very specific rules about who can find who inside it. So, for example, teachers can find other teachers. Teachers can only find the learners inside their own establishment. And there are a whole number of other rules and a rule set that's built into the current version of Glow. Now, part of my plans for Glue is to recreate much of that national directory structure, but I think consult more widely about the sorts of rules we want in that system about who can find who. So there's a big discussion and debate to have about that, and I think that, you know, that's something that we will need to take forward. But certainly the plan is that we will have that national directory, you know, with that directory capacity built into Glue, and you will be able to find other users. Now, one of the features that I've been working on for about the last week in Glue is that, what do you do once you find people? You just know where they are, so you can just send them an email. Well, what I'm trying to build into Glue is something that's more social than that. Basically to make it a social platform for learning. So now, what we currently have is lots of tools, but there was a very good tweet the other night from someone who says, I'm in Glue, really like it, but it's like being in a big posh house with nobody else there. Where is everyone? And it's a really good point, because how do you find people? How do you network with people and get together with them? So part of the idea of building the national directory is also, each user will also be able to have their own circle or their own buddy list or their own friend list. The exact terminology for it I haven't quite worked out yet, but so you'll be able to build up different groups of people that you work with, whether that be classes of learners, whether it be learners choosing their friends, they're looking at their friends in other classes. And the point of that isn't so that you can all say, well, you know, I had steak and chips for my dinner and things like that. It's so that when a learner, for example, goes into the Moodle instance in Glue and completes a learning activity, the fact that they've completed that learning activity gets posted back to their social stream, their activity stream, so that when they've said they've completed, you know, homework exercise 17, that goes back into their stream, and other learners that they're sharing with can see that, and the staff that are sharing that stream can see that, and we can begin to build a kind of culture of sharing activity, sharing what we do in terms of learning. So that, for example, if somebody posts a new blog post, that post goes into that activity stream, and the comments from that post go into that activity stream. And then if somebody in their e-portfolio system puts up something they're really proud of that they've done really well in, and, you know, let's say it's a judo competition and there's a picture of the child having done really well or getting an award or whatever, and they want to share it just with their friends, just with the people that are important to them, that they want to be part of their, like, learning stream, they can do that and see that, have that kind of interaction. Now, I think in terms of learning, we haven't really taken forward this kind of stream of activity, this kind of social network part of things, in terms of really using it to incentivize learning, to incentivize learning activity, and to make learning a far more social thing than perhaps things like GLOW have made it. So that's one of the kind of plans and visions for this, that moving on you would have these different groups, these different lists of people that you would share activity with, and it would bring people, the learning community, together. That's one of the sort of main thrusts, I think, of the next phase of development.
Charlie, see, just coming back to the here and now, I'm going to bring a couple of points in from Twitter, and of course if you can also email Radio Edutalk, that's edutalkr, edutalkr @hotmail.co.uk, and indeed if you would like to call in or Skype in, then if you just direct message me, Parslad, on Twitter, or John Johnson, and ask to be brought into the conversation. And similarly, if you just email Radio Edutalk, if you would like to provide a home or a mobile number, we can dial out to you in the next 20 minutes or so. But Charlie, are you able to say a bit about whether you're, two things here, whether you're collaborating with anybody on this, and I appreciate that may be sensitive, and also whether the timing of, I suppose, the kind of key developments or key milestones in GLOW links in at all deliberately, or in what way does it link in with the Google roadshows that have taken place over the last couple of weeks? And indeed, my understanding is there's a big event in Glasgow this Saturday, or is this for maybe a future point in time where you might decide to go back within the back within developments within mainstream Scottish education, i.e. controlled by the politicians, or possibly some tie-in with Google in the future?
Right. Well, it's been, up to now, this has been pretty much developed by myself. There has been, you know, I've consulted with a few people to say, I've had a few sort of early adopters in the system who I probably shouldn't name without their permission. But there's been a few sort of key people that I've had involved in it, just to sort of look over it, think, is this the right direction we want to be going in? These are the sort of tools that we want to include? And so that in terms of collaboration, there's sort of really just a few sort of early adopters in the system for other people to have a look at. But the timing of the release of it, well, it just kind of came out when it was in good enough shape for me to let other people see. I think that's a pretty key part of it. Yes, I was very much aware that the Google events were coming up, and my kind of strategy with the Google events has been, you know, having looked very, very carefully at both Google's platform and Microsoft's platform, I'm very convinced that the best of the two for Scottish education is the Google one. That's not to say that there aren't great features in the Microsoft one. There are great features in the Microsoft platform, and I know that a number of local authorities are very keen on taking that platform forward. And that's why the way that GLOW is built is that if somebody tomorrow wanted GLOW to work with Microsoft's Office 365, then it could. And the technical parts of GLOW to make that happen are there. The SAML, the authentication system that's there, the SAML authentication system that's there, would work with Office 365. There's a couple of little steps that need to be filled in the middle to make it work, but yeah, it would work. I do very much believe that the best platform for taking learning forward in Scottish education at this point in time, best free set of tools is the Google set, just because of the, as I said before, it's the online collaboration, the way that the tools work across each other, the sharing is very simple, and the document management. All you've got is just a list of documents that you can stick in folders. You've got none of this kind of complexity that you have in the existing GLOW, which is SharePoint, or in the in Microsoft's new product, which is also a SharePoint-based one, where you've got inside groups and file stores and things flagged. It's just, it's too complicated. We want something that learners from early years right through to post 18, something that's very simple that our learners can just pick up and use intuitively, and that's what I think they get with the Google platform. So in terms of releasing this, it was pretty much released when it was ready enough for people to see it. Yes, that did tie in round about the same time as the Google events, and I was really, really fortunate to be able to have a couple of inputs into the Google events, one that I did in Aberdeen myself, just letting people know that Glue is out there as a free open source project that people can get involved with. And also in East Lothian, where David Gilmore did a wee bit of the presentation on my behalf. So I'm very grateful to him for doing that. So I hope that answers your question. maybe in a bit of a circuitous route to it, but yeah, that's where I'm at.
Well, it certainly does, Charlie. Thank you very much. Joanna, there's an awful lot of activity on Twitter, and not so much on the emails. Are you wanting to visit some of the comments and maybe put a couple of questions to Charlie?
Follow them all over different places. I'd kind of just like to get my own Tuppenceworth in first, Charlie. And I was very just blown away, actually, by the sort of the whole system. I've used Glow, I've showed hundreds of people. It's been my job for the last 2 or 3 years is to be working in Glow and showing people, and I've seen great things done in it, but I always come up against bits that, you know, we want to change, we want this to work a slightly different way, or we want this to look better or be easier to use, and certainly some of the time we use some of the things that you developed and some of the techniques you developed to alter the portal. But when you see the sort of speed and agility with things can change in Glue, I think that's the impressive thing. But all the time, the problem I've seen with Glue is two strands. It's a lack of agility and the user friendliness of the GUI. And the fact that you've got this up and going and it's flexible, so if we find something wrong with the GUI, you can change that very quickly. If you find a new service, you can dive in there.
The key part of being able to be that agile is because it's built on open standards, it's built on common software, and there's a framework, there's basically a set of tools in the background that can be just plugged in to different pieces of software to make them work really quickly. The great example is, John, as you know, you asked me, you know, it's missing. I think you were one of the first people that see it quite a couple of weeks ago, and you said, you know, can I get a wiki? There's no wiki in it. So that was a case of, right, okay.
Don't media ask for wikis. Much.
Yeah, you're right. You know, well, Media Wiki is the best wiki out there, so let's go and get Media Wiki. And, you know, MediaWiki was in and installed and running on the system in about 15 minutes because the set of tools that let you change things and tweak things and make things happen are, you know, flexible, adaptable, a web system should be agile. It should be able to respond reasonably quickly to people's needs. That's the great thing about the web. It changes so quickly. It's got to be fluid and do those things.
Okay, just got a few comments. I'll first of all visit the, I think there's been three tweets from Caroline Braley. She says that she loves listening to you talking about Glue, Charlie. You make it sound so accessible to non-techs like Kurt. And she also welcomes your idea that you know, she should really go out, if you want to call it market research or whatever, but find out what people want in order to be able to connect, both in terms of teachers and learners, and people should be asked to. And
yeah,
that's maybe something that hasn't been done on a national scale. Interestingly, I think if I recall correctly, I think Graham Donaldson's report talks about some kind of regular survey of teachers with regards to what would be the best ICT. I think that made it into his report about a year and a half ago, and Caroline also continues. She feels that she should be able to, or people should be able to collaborate from P1, and they should also be able to collaborate using the same tools as others around the world. I'm also just going to bring in Fergal Kelly. Fergal's not listening in today, but he thinks that the emphasis should always be on the learners, and I think there's still a little bit of concern out there with regards, I suppose, e-safety, as a, if you want to use that concept. And we had, if I just pull this comment up from, lost it, from Judith Weston, and she's referring to your idea earlier on, if Glue was to grow, that you may have pupils in different classes, and I suppose by extension different schools that would be able to share their learning and their stream, as you put it. But she's wondering, will schools tolerate private social interaction between pupils online? And she feels that it is unlikely that they would tolerate this kind of interaction.
Well, this is always part of the debate and the discussion. I think we tolerate offline social interaction between learners. We tolerate that, we have that discussion in the corridor, we have the discussion in the dining room. Our learners outside of school are using Facebook and Twitter. Our perception really should be, right, well, how can we handle that in a way that we would handle it as though it was something that was outside of the virtual world and in the real world? I often think that, if we look at this in, if you had two kids from a different school that are having a chat outside their local ASDA because they're friends with each other and they know each other, that's not a huge, difference from them going home that night and chatting to each other on Facebook, to take that further for them, then the next day when they're both working on different topics and different subjects, for this to their activity to pop up in their subject stream, their learning stream inside Glue, when they can see that each other is doing something productive, each other is making progress, each of them is being able to share their learning and their achievement with others in a positive way. So I think we have to be, we can all get very concerned about e-safety, and I think we're quite right to. You'll notice that one of the first things that I did with Glue on the Glue launchpad, when you go into Glue, one of the first things that you see inside Glue is the CEOP report button. It's on there on the launchpad for Glue. So that was a definite decision and choice to say, right, children's safety is important. We want to make that report it now feature that's part of the CEOP operation available to learners from the word go. So that's on the launch pad for Glue, and it's there for that very reason, so that learners can report and can use that service if they feel that they need to. So that set of tools is, I think we have to be realistic about e-safety. We have to think of that in the context of the real world. And we have to think, well, education has to move forward. Sometimes we need to take some risks, if we perceive them as risks, to make change happen. And I think the positives outcomes for learners from sharing their efforts, being able to get positive feedback about them, being able to just to demonstrate that they're making progress, that they're able to in whatever way take things forward with the learning. I think there's some great strengths and great positives to be taken from that. And I think we are missing a huge opportunity if we shut down social interaction because we are scared of it. Not because our learners are scared of it, because we are scared of it. I think that's we would really suffer for that. So I think we sometimes have to take chances, but we have to be aware of the risks. You're quite right, we have to be aware of that. But I think with the right education to learners about what those risks are, and things like the Think You Know program, and the Click Thinking program, some of the e-safety programs that we've been running successfully in Scottish schools, as long as we continue with those programs and we continue to educate our learners about the issues when using these online systems, I think we should we should try and embrace them to see for their positives rather than focus too much on the potential negatives of them.
I'm really with you there, Charlie. I mean, I always think that it's kind of like you let children out in the playground, and certainly at primary school, occasionally they have a fight, and if they do, you talk to them about it, you discuss it, you might even stop them going into the playground for the next day or two if it was a really bad incident, but eventually you put them back out and give them more chance to practice socialising in the right way. And one of the things we miss in school is teaching children the power of online social networks and how good they can be. And I think it's quite ironic, a lot of powerful CPD is now carried out online, and people do an awful lot of their own lives. Even teachers who are not particularly ICT literate are all over Facebook, that they're nervous about their children doing that. You know, we need to open that up. I'm not sure how you actually do that. I wouldn't have thought there was anything in Glue that was any more risky than something in Glow, though, because I presume that, again, everything is fairly traceable and trackable if necessary.
Yeah, all the activity and everything that's carried out, every activity that happens in Glue is logged. It goes into a number of different logs, one for each application. So if anyone does anything, it can be traced back to the user account. And you know, that account can be switched off and disabled or whatever. Remember, this is still quite an early stage for Glue. We're just taking people into a kind of beta test scenario, just to see what happens when we have a number of users in there. And so there'll be things that pop up through the beta testing that we'll need to action and things that we'll need to change. But yeah, absolutely, everything that's happening, everything is logged. Everything can be traced back, and we can take our action if we need to on any of those things.
Thanks, Charlie. I think that the other one that, again, Jim Buchan comes away with, and I think he's already written a blog post about, or maybe even two, about Glue. I haven't looked at the latest one, but he had a huge pile of really useful posts about what we needed in the new Glow. And he's saying here, he's actually just agreed with who advocates shutting down social interaction, collaboration, and education. Collaboration is a key for future learning, which I think we'd all agree with. But before that, his tweet before that was agreed, Google has a useful set of applications, but it's not a learning platform, but useful component thereof. And I'm presuming you just agree with that all the way because of all the other bits and pieces that are glued together in Glue.
Absolutely. I mean, the Google set of services are one aspect of this whole fairly cohesive and comprehensive set of tools that make Glue. The Google aspect of that is it's there for the email, it's there for the online document collaboration, the word processing, the spreadsheets, the documents, the kind of core ICT tools that you can use. And it's there, and one part that I haven't really made an awful lot of use of yet, but this is maybe something I can elaborate on now, is that the Google Groups part of the future development of Glue, I think is potentially really powerful and really important. Because we're going to build this more detailed national directory, what I'm hoping to do is, if we take, for example, let's take a physics teacher that signs up to use Glue. That physics teacher comes in and they complete their profile and they say, I'm a physics teacher, I'm in Glasgow City, and I like, I'm interested in snowboarding, right? So let's take those three things. Using the Google Groups and from that profile, what it's possible to do then is, with that person's permission, and I emphasize that, with their permission at the time that they create their profile, it's possible then to subscribe them to a group of national physics teachers, a group of physics teachers in Glasgow City, and a group of teachers in Glasgow City, and everybody who wants to snowboard. So we can build in, with their permission, we can put them into the networks in the Google groups that they would want to be part of. So the idea will be that when they make up their profile, they say, do you want to the group for this? Do you want to go into the group for this other activity? So you'll be able to subscribe to the things that you want, rather than find yourself a member of 138 different Glow groups, of which you'll never have anything ever to do with any of them. You'll be able to choose the things that you want to be part of, and the things that you as a teacher are passionate about and want to be involved with. So that's one of the ways forward, I think, is that from that directory, we're able to build in a set of groups inside the Google groups, which will let people share, let people interact with each other, discuss and debate. And I think that has to be a real positive, that people can choose what they want to be part of.
Yeah, I think your auto-suggestion idea, that's really what it is, a sort of auto-suggestion system, yeah? Is a really nice idea. And I'm presuming Google Groups, I'm active in a few different ones across different things. They're fairly straightforward to use, and they would sort of replace what we normally use as a forum or a discussion group in Glow at the moment.
Gentlemen, sorry for jumping in here. I think maybe this is a good time just to put a controversial point. Just based on what you're saying there about the opportunities for collaboration and being able to link people together in the first instance, is it not the case that if we're talking here about teachers who in the main will be employed by local authorities, maybe using these tools within their working day, i.e. when they're in contact with their classes, that ultimately the tool that they use for all of this, or whether you call it a learning platform or whatever Glow is or Glow becomes, is it not the case that that resource will have to be ultimately under the control of the Cabinet Secretary for, at the moment, Education and Lifelong Learning, and therefore that for this to work at any point in the future, Glow does need to come within the work or the ownership of Education Scotland or another public body?
Right.
Just if that doesn't make any sense, Charlie.
Yeah, no, I think you're saying what you're saying really.
Also, in terms of accountability, that if in terms of data ownership and in terms of if somebody just forgets to log something and something's alleged to that, does it not? Does society, do employers, the parents and carers not need to have the peace of mind that ultimately the Cabinet Secretary or somebody else within the administration in charge of Scotland can be held responsible?
Yeah, I think you have a key point there, which is that really is it, as this platform moves forward, who's going to own what and who's going to ultimately be accountable for it. My hope for it is that that it maybe can get to that point where those people that are making key decisions about our future technological needs in Scotland do say, well, this is a useful platform, this is something we want to support and something that we want to be involved with taking forward. So I'd be very keen for them to come forward and say, right, we like this, we can see this, it's got traction with teachers and learners in Scotland, and we want to take that forward. But I do also think that there's another way that possibly it could go, which is that the community itself of teachers takes this forward as a community development. And there may be some means of setting up some sort of trust or some sort of body that can have that kind of corporate responsibility that I think you're talking about. Because right now that corporate kind of ownership and responsibility, I guess, lies with me.
Of course, I'd assume you're a GTC registered teacher and there's a code of professionalism in practice, so that, there's certainly some form of security.
Yeah, there's some there safeguards there, yes. Yes, absolutely. So I think those are key points. But I would like, as we make this more of a community development, to make this something that the education community in Scotland takes forward. and sponsors, and really just gets involved with the development and usage of it as a platform. And I would hope there would be some mechanism that we can come up with some sort of body or something as we move forward that can do that.
I think for a lot of teachers, and there is still a huge number of teachers who are just starting to dip their toes into GLOW and online teaching and learning in general, that's quite a jump, and I'm kind of really hoping that Mike Russell has been paying some attention to the the tweets that have been directed at him to have a look at GLOW, and it becomes a national effort, because I think that would be the certainly for, I'd say, a lot of local authorities, even, never mind teachers, would be the only way to get a big buy-in.
Yeah, I actually think, you know, this idea that it could be a sort of national effort is really great. I mean, I've already had, you know, two or three primary teachers, early years teachers, who've come to me and said, look, we really like this, but I think we've changed the user interface. And I've said, well, that's great. Go out, just go ahead and sketch out what you want.
Yeah.
And I'll try and do it for you. And we'll try and make it happen so that you can put, I mean, the system that's there at the moment can have different looks and feels, different themes, you might say, made available to each user. So there's no reason why we could just an early years skin. There's no reason why we couldn't have a Gaelic skin on it. You know, we can translate everything and have that happening automatically. And I've built in sets of tools to allow us to do that. So that's what I find really exciting, is that with just a little bit of thought, using the open source tools that are out there, we've got multi-language support, we've got multi-interface support, and we can really develop a system that's going to meet the needs of our learners. And that's the, for me, it's the key thing. I want something that when I, you know, when I want to do something exciting and interesting as a learning activity, I want the right set of tools to be available to allow me to do that as a teacher. Because that's, you know, that's my job. I want to be able to use the right things to do the very best job that I can.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's something that, for such a short space of time, you've done rather beautifully, is the fact that people that want, there's teachers that want something like Moodle, it's there. There's other people that want blogs and RSS and things like that, and that's there. You can pick and choose bits and pieces, and plug in different bits as it develops. I just think that's really powerful.
Yeah, and I think that's the key thing. It's just got that. It has. It's a system that we can extend and expand, and put things in to respond to the needs of the kind of education community, the key users. Yeah.
We're just coming into the last couple of minutes of tonight's show, and thank you very much, Charlie. On two fronts, I think we've gone way beyond you said the length of time for tonight's show, and I'm sure you've got lots of other things to be getting on with, not just the development of GLOW, but also for you to step into tonight's show at short notice. We tend to plan these things well in advance, but it was late last night. It seemed to be coming together, and I thought it would. I know how much how impassioned John is around everything that we've been talking about tonight in general. So it's great that at short notice you could agree to come on. Live, so I really appreciate that. We've just a few other comments that you might want to respond to, Charlie. Alan Hamilton has posted a few, he says that we must give learners a responsibility and trust to share online as they do offline, talk about the benefits and the pitfalls. He continues that the national directory aspect, a lot of people discussing the benefits of the national directory, and some people saying that it's not high in their priority list. But Alan continues, the national directory aspect of GLOW was very important to him. It enabled feeder primary students to discuss high school with S1s. In fact, he did that just last week. And then he goes on with reference to GLOW itself. The most important part of GLOW to me is that it gives choice to teachers and learners. Choose the tools which help learning to come alive. Bob Hill, who many people will know, Lear, involved in education ICT, He adds that the best security can do nothing about another person using somebody's ID, and that this will happen when you have millions of users.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very good point. Yeah.
So just going to the end of tonight's show, just last plea, if anybody wants to put any final comments up on Twitter or email, if you desperately want to come in live, then just DM me on Twitter or send an email and we can pull you in just to join the show with any final comments.
Just while we'll get a chance before I forget to mention it, I mean, we did kind of just briefly mention it earlier on, is that Glue is going to be a part of the Google Learning and Teaching event that's going to be held this Saturday in Glasgow. I think it's 10 o'clock start at the Grosvenor Hotel, and people have signed up for that. And I think there's over 100 teachers coming to that event in Glasgow this weekend, and there's lots of workshops and lots of sort of key activities. And I very much hope we're going to be able to share some of that material online following that event. I think people should watch out for tweets and so on about that. And if you haven't been able to get to place because they were in pretty, you know, demand was pretty heavy for them, a lot of the resources and the workshops and so on, I'm very much hoping we'll be able to share that online.
And Charlie, is it your understanding that the event is now fully subscribed?
Yeah, it's my understanding that the event is fully subscribed, if not maybe slightly oversubscribed. But no, I think the event's pretty much fully subscribed. When you go to sign up now, it just tells you that the form's now closed because it's the process is full. So, yeah,
and I believe that there'll be plenty of stuff posted up on the Pedigree website. I would imagine during the day and afterwards, so there should be plenty for folk who haven't been able to go to digest in the days and weeks after the event.
Yeah, very much. Yeah,
John, do you want to come in?
Luckily I think got in at the right time and got a place to go on Saturday. I'm looking forward to it. I'm especially looking forward to snagging one of those nice Google notebooks that they were giving away at the Bet Show that I didn't get. But I just really, thanks very much, Charlie. I could talk at all sorts of levels about this for an awful long time, I think. Is there anything just you want, this is the final, to ask other people other than just kicking the tyres and having a wee shot?
well, that's the kind of key thing, isn't it? Yeah, kick the tyres on Glue for me, please. Just come along, sign up, use it, post your comments. I am really working hard at trying to get the development side, the development portal up and running. But the development portal was not going to be just for techies. The development portal is also going to be for people who just want to blog about their experience, or maybe they're using something for the first time and they're going to volunteer to give us a beginner's guide to making your first WordPress post. Because development of Glue isn't just about the techie software stuff. It's about creating the whole ecosystem that supports learners and teachers in using it. So it's giving people the kind of tutorials and support that they need to use it. So if somebody wants to come along and say, right, this is how you do your first blog post in Glue, this is how you set up your first Moodle quiz, this is how you do something in Lime Survey if you want to survey your opinion in your kids, all of these are really important factors of Glue moving forward, and you'll be able to, you know, as part of the development effort, say, right, I'm going to volunteer to do that. I'm going to do a little bit on that, and really just get stuck in and help us make it a really exciting platform for learning.
Just brilliant. Thank you very much, Charlie.
Thank you.
We'll want to watch out, folks. Next week, we've got EduTalk and Radio EduTalk coming from the Festival of Dangerous Ideas. I think Charlie's not had a dangerous idea, but it's on the cusp. A safely dangerous idea and a really exciting one. But more ideas, maybe a bit more dangerous next week. So I think that's everything, David. So we'll just say good night, folks.
Okay, good night, everybody. Thank you very much, Charlie. Take care.
Thank you very much indeed.